3 years ago when Ian was a mere 3 years old. It is our evening ritual after taking a bath and reading a story to have an evening closing prayer. We usually start with Ian and then go into Leah's room in the same routine. But again, 2 years ago when Ian was just three, "Now I lay me down to sleep," he said, "Daddy, I want to say my own prayer tonight." Kind of shocked me for a three-year-old to do that. I was perplexed for a moment. And I said, "Okay, Ian, say your prayer." And he began to thank God for his mom, thank God for his dad, and thank God for his grandparents, thank God for the world, and that was enough. It's, to me, one of the monumental moments of parenting, especially for a pastor to have his three-year-old son say, "Daddy, I want to say my own prayer." For years, we had been saying a memorized prayer, but he wanted to say his prayer from his heart. I am pretty positive that was not just the fact that he's a PK, a preacher's kid, or the fact that he sees his dad praying, or sees his dad at work at the church. I'm sure going to Hope Academy across the street, which is a Christian daycare, has instilled in him some Christian principles. And, oh, bless your heart, baby. Oh, bless him. Suffer the little children that have come unto me, for theirs like in the kingdom of heaven. It's going to be all right. Say your prayer, baby. Amen. Come on back when you want to. Amen. And so he said his prayer. And I appreciate the fact that Ian understands that even before we eat or before we go to bed, he has to say his prayers. And at the age of three, he decided that he didn't want to say any more memorized prayers. Interesting enough, the disciples of Jesus Christ also had that moment of introspection. From both Matthew 6 and 9 and Luke 11 and 2, we find those chapters the disciples asking Jesus to teach them how to pray. They don't ask him to teach them a prayer. They don't ask him to teach him a memorized prayer. They do not ask for him to teach them something that they could recite like we recite it now. They actually ask him to teach them how to pray like he prayed, because they realize that when Jesus prayed, things got done. They realized, Deacon Daniels, that the prayers of their fathers, the prayers of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, the prayers that they learned, J.B., in the synagogues, the prayers that they had to memorize, or the Psalms they had to memorize, were well and good. "Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep," has kept a lot of us alive. But there comes a point in your life where you need to learn how to pray for yourself. And so they asked Jesus, after watching him pray a lot and seeing him talk to somebody a lot, every time he talked to this person, some things began to change. And we find out that he begins in Matthew 6 and 9, and again in Luke and 2, you will find these words where he teaches them how to pray. And he begins by saying, "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come." Matthew 6, 9, Luke 11, 2, both begin with Jesus teaching his disciples how to pray, and he starts by saying, "Our Father." And I want to talk about that just very briefly this Sunday morning on Father's Day, "Our Father." Interesting enough, Israelite children and the children of Isaac and Abraham and Jacob and the children who created revealed religion. No way in the Old Testament do you see them referring to God as Father. They refer to him as Yahweh. They refer to him as Elohim. They refer to him as Jehovah. But you never see them referring to God as Father. Even though we know him as God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, in the Old Testament, he is never referred to as Father. And there's a simple reason that he's never referred to in the Old Testament as Father, because in the Old Testament, he did not yet have a son. Ain't no neurophysicist on that one. They didn't know to call him Father because at that time he did not have a son. They knew that Genesis said, let us make man, but they did not know who us was or who us is at that time because a son had not yet been born. And so they don't refer to him again as Father. They refer to him as a provider. They refer to him as a creator. They refer to him as a protector. They refer to him as a El Oyon and El Olah. But they do not refer to him as Father. And when David begins his famous prayer, he doesn't call him Father. He calls him a shepherd. And he says, the Lord is my shepherd. He uses that personal pronoun, that singular pronoun. He says, the Lord is my shepherd. And Jesus is not correcting David when he turns that singular pronoun into a plural pronoun. He just reveals unto us that the Father is the Father of all of us. All of us who claim his son, we then get the benefit of becoming in the family. And so he says, when you pray, when you think about praying, realize that you ain't the only one praying and that you ain't the only child. When you pray, you say, our Father, which art in heaven. He says, our Father, which art in heaven. Our Father, who is not only my Father, who is not only my shepherd, who is not only my provider, who is not only my strong tower, but he is that for all of us. He is ours. And you can't keep him. You can't quarantine him. You can't keep him for yourself. He belongs to all of us. And when you pray, don't start just having selfish prayers. Don't just pray for yourself. Just don't pray for your parents. Just don't pray for your grandma. Pray for everybody. Pray for your pastor. Pray for your church. Pray for your co-workers. Pray for your neighbor. Remember that we are all in this thing together. You know, it's a good thing, but then again, listen to me, what I'm saying, and, you know, y'all hear what you want to hear. Even the Me Too movement is about me. And I credit the lady who, I'm sorry that it happened to him, and God bless him, but even the lady who charged Bill Cosby, and they finally won in Philadelphia, who she claimed he raped him, or found guilty of raping her, using whatever he was using. When she was interviewed after the trial, I bless her heart because she said, this never was about me. It was about all women who had been victimized. It never was about a Me Too movement for me. I was standing up for every woman who ever was raped or victimized or abused. But then we live in a world now that everybody's got their own Facebook page, their own Twitter account, their own Instagram pictures. It's all about me, and it's no longer about collectivism, even within the African-American community. It ain't about us, especially when us move. I think it's working, God. When us was in the ghetto, everybody, talk on this side. You needed a cup of sugar. You needed some cabbage. You needed some collards. You needed some fat back. Everybody came together. When your child messed up, I beat your child and sent him to your house and told you I beat your child. You can't touch nobody's child right now. It was all about us. And one of the detriments of integration was that it ain't about us no more. When we all went to all black schools, my dad who graduated, my mom, I can't tell them when my mom graduated. But when my dad graduated, class of 60, you know, Sid Johnson,
segregated school class of 60 is 2018. They still get together every year. Every year. They still get together every year because they were a community and they were all in the struggle together. I guess we don't arrive, huh? But you're still struggling. And we need each other to survive. Don't forget that Jesus says when you begin to pray, think about it, somebody else. Just don't think about yourself. Remember that we are all in this thing together. And then he says, our Father, which art in heaven. Jesus says, you ain't got to worry about where my daddy is. You ain't got to worry. And you ain't got to look for him. You ain't got to find him. You ain't got to ask nobody, have you ever met him? You ain't got to ask his address. You ain't got to look for him on Facebook. You don't have to go to DSS. I know where my daddy is. My daddy is always in heaven. And I can go to my daddy at any time because I know where he is. How are we claiming to be like Jesus? And our children don't even know where we are, how to get in contact with us. How are we claiming to be good fathers when even though we no longer with the mother, got issues with the mother, why are we having the child be a victim of our issues? One of the worst terms ever been created, one of the worst terms ever created in humanity is the title illegitimate child. There are no illegitimate children. There are illegitimate relationships. And I know illegitimate relationships get you problems and get you out of context, but the context that you need to be in is even though you're no longer with the couple, you got to still be with your child. And the child needs to always have access to their father. Our Father which art in heaven, then he says, hallowed be thy name. Not Hollywood. Hallowed. Holy. Hallowed. Holy. That term hallowed means holy. It also means honorable. That my daddy has an honorable name, and it is Father. You know, Tarjay got in trouble last week for selling a baby daddy card. Yeah, I don't know why y'all upset. I ain't. If you are one, you are one. There is a difference between being a daddy and being a father. See, daddies come a dime a dozen. Daddies just need equipment to make a child. But there's something holy and honorable about being a father. Something holy and honorable about taking care of your children and not having a judge have to make you take care of your children. That's why he says, hallowed, holy, honorable is the name of the Father. Not just being a baby daddy, but being a father who is a protector, who is a provider, who is there when you need him, who will come to your rescue. You ain't got to worry about he'll know what you're going through before you even going through, that he's always there for you. Hallowed be thy name. You know, I've got two biological children, got seven God children on paper, and at the altar, that's a whole lot of gifts. A whole lot of birthdays, a whole lot of Christmases to remember for them seven. But then I got a whole lot of extended children, a whole lot of my players, a whole lot of employees' children. I don't know why, I have become a father figure to them. And even some of them now who are not my blood, but by my spirit, just call me pops. I ain't old enough, Far. I ain't old enough to be called pops. That's 70, 80, 82, 85, 86. But I don't know, but that's what some of them call me, pops, just pops, because of the role I play in their lives. And when they need some information, when they need wisdom, when they need help, they know who they can come turn to. I ain't birthed them. My name ain't on their birth certificate. I'm not with their mama, but they know when they need somebody to talk to, need some wisdom, need some guidance, they have a friend who's honorable and who's holy. I ain't perfect, but I'm trying to do the best I can. And they know that they can come to somebody when they need a word. And he says, when you join Jesus, you get somebody that's holy. When you join Jesus, you get somebody that's honorable. Ask yourself, are you an honorable father? Are you a holy father? And then, not to keep you too long, he says, you know God is in heaven. Our Father is in heaven. He says, hallowed be thy name. And then he says, thy kingdom come. When he talks about his Father, read it for yourself. In both of those two sets of scriptures, he says, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. And then you want to see that when you read in all of Matthew. Luke is just a short version, but Matthew is the longer version. He says, thy kingdom come. But then at the end, he says, thy kingdom and the power. He says, thy kingdom come at the top. And then at the bottom, he says, thine is the kingdom. He says, thy kingdom is coming. But then he lets us know that he is the kingdom. He says that you got all the power. You got all the territory. You own everything. And that is coming to all of us. But right now, you already it. I wish somebody helped this preacher today. Thy kingdom is coming, and all of us who love Jesus will inherit the kingdom. You want to know what a good father does? He leaves an inheritance for his children. Proverbs 13 says, a father leaves an inheritance for his children's children. He leaves an inheritance for his children's children. My dad would tell you if he knew earlier that grandchildren were so sweet and so wonderful, he would have had his grandchildren first. I don't know how you're going to get that done, but hey. And that's what the Bible says, that you will leave an inheritance for your children's children. That you will save up enough money that only your children have something, mama. And not only your children have something, mama. The one that's a preacher, mama. That your children would have something, but there'll be some overflow. For your children's children. He says a good father will leave an inheritance for the children's children. Help me, somebody. That is what a father should be doing. Building it up, yes, so that your children's children have something when you leave this earth. I want to thank God. I don't know where the ball man is. We all in the family now. I want to thank God for having a good father. I want to thank God that he's living his life biblically. And I don't know, he didn't plan it, but he's got two things to leave both of his children so that his children's children get something. And I tried to do the best I can to honor my father. And we've had some mountains. And we've had some valleys. I've been fired a few times. But thank God for a godly mother. Thank God, all right. That's why we always packed on Mother's Day. Daddy will fire you, but mama will come to your rescue. That's why y'all get cards and dinner. That's why we visit the cemetery. That's why we love y'all. That's why we embrace y'all. That's why we put y'all all over Facebook. But daddy will cut your butt. Well, George, my older brother, who's the executor of the estate, had two girls. And you know about Cynthia and I's troubles. I don't mind telling you about the years of agony we had. And when our first child was born, we decided not to have the gender reveal, that we were going to be surprised. And I prayed and I prayed and I prayed that God would give me a boy. And the reason I asked God to give me a boy, because there are no more male Levies. Two cousins I had whose last name are Levy, they didn't leave any kids, and they've gone on to heaven. And so I felt it my responsibility, because George had two girls, to bring a male, matter of fact, two of them, into the world. And when Leah came out, I said, oh, no. We got to redo this. Put it back in. It's my responsibility to bring, here you come right there. It's It's my responsibility to bring a boy into the world. Make sure you get his tithes and his offering. And so when we had the second child, I said, I ain't gonna pass out into the living room again. So we found out we were going to have a son, but we kept it a secret. And I don't know, you can do your way how you want to do your way. You can live your life how you want to live your life, and you govern your house like you want to govern your house, Cliff. I mean, Cheryl. But Cynthia and I had a little pact that if it's a girl, Cynthia would name the girl. I had veto power, but Cynthia would be responsible for the name. And I was fine with that. If we had a boy, then I'd be responsible for the name, Ron. So when we had Leah, she named Leah. Denise Johnson. I was cool with that. But when we knew we were having a boy, I said, Cynthia, I want to name him after my daddy. I want his name to be Isaac Samuel Levy Johnson, because there are no more male Levys, and I need the Levy name to continue. She said, ain't nobody been named Isaac since Isaac off the ship. We are not naming this boy Isaac. Now, you can find another eye. Matter of fact, here, the all the eyes that have male names, and you pick which one, but we are not naming our boy Isaac. And this between us now. Don't you tell Cynthia I told her. Do not get me in trouble. So we settled on Ian. And it was our secret. His name would be Ian Samuel Levy Johnson. It would still be I.S. Levy Johnson. May 3rd, 2013, her water broke 2 months earlier. Early. She cried. We were at Lexington Medical Center. We were going to have another premature baby. She cried. I did cartwheels down the hallway because my great-grandfather, the original I.S. Levy, was born on May 3rd, 1876. They share the same birthday. 2 months early on my great-grandfather's birthday, I was elated. She was crying. I had to act like I was crying too. So the nurse comes in after Ian comes. He's premature. They have to take him into the NICU, which is the hardest thing for a mother to deal with. And I'm on the phone calling my dad for him to come to the hospital because I'm not telling anyone the name until I tell my daddy. I told the nurse, you're just going to have to wait. He on the funeral. You're just going to have to wait. I said, Dad, I need you here because I want to tell you your grandson's name. He said, I can't get there right now. The preacher just started preaching. I said, well, I'm not telling anybody until you get here. Nah, man, go ahead and tell me. I said, I'm not, no, I'll wait till you get here. I don't know how long this man going to be. Go ahead and tell me his name. I said, his name is going to be Ian Samuel Levy Johnson. Ian? What type of... And I can't say the blank in church. What type of name is... He ain't no preacher. And y'all act like, well, what y'all talking about? Yeah, as soon as y'all get off these ground, y'all going to be filling in some blanks. Y'all get all brand new on me. Thank you for being honest, sir. Thank you for being honest. He was like, before I get to the bathroom, I might have to cuss out a Christian up in here. Up in here. Woo, y'all get a little righteous. What type of name is Ian? I said, Daddy, his name is Ian. Why you gonna name that boy after an iron? I said, Daddy, it is Ian. It is spelled I-A-N, but it's pronounced E-N. Just an E and an N, Dad. Ian, what is Ian? Ain't nobody in our family named no Ian. I hung up the phone. True story. True story. 5 minutes later, I get a call. Oh! Oh! I.S.! I.S.! You naming the boy after me! I said, yes, Daddy. You got now a little I.S. Oh, son. Thank you, man. Because I named my son after my daddy. Can't tell you all his business. But there's some things already in little IS's name. Because I honored my father, who was a good father, there's some things I, as Ian's father, will never have to pay for because his grandfather has already taken care of them. There are some things that Ian will be blessed with because I gave Ian a good name. There are some things that will come to Ian that Ian won't have to work for because I gave Ian a name. I was mathematical in giving Ian a name. Because if I knew that if I gave Ian a name after my father, that my father would honor his name and make sure that all Ian's needs were provided. I gave Ian a name that's a special name to his father and to his grandfather and to his great-grandfather. And because I gave Ian a name, Ian will be provided for even after his father and grandfather are gone. I gave Ian a special name to live out the legacy of that name. I gave Ian more than Wachovia, Wells Fargo, Bank of America, Morgan Stanley. I gave Ian more than 1,000 cattle on a hill. I gave him more than an oxen. I gave Ian a name. And because I gave Ian a name, everything will be provided and given unto him because of a name. The foxes might have holes in the birds might have nests, but all my Savior has is a name. He might look like he didn't come from much, born in a birdie barn in the back streets of Bethlehem, but he's got a name. And that name, I heard, is called Wonderful. That name is called Counselor. That name is called Mighty God. That name is called the Everlasting Savior. That name makes demons tremble. That name makes demons get back. That name makes tears dry up. That name makes crying stop. That name makes hellions get behind you. That name puts your enemies under your feet. That name gets your stuff done. That name gets you provided. That name gets you something in your bank account. That name gets your enemies behind you. That name gets you out your bed in the morning. That name gets you a child on your mind. That name helps you when you don't know how to help yourself. That name is wonderful. Anybody know that name? And if you know that name, you know that name has special power. That name that made you wake up this morning. That name that will put you to sleep this morning. That name that somebody runs the red light if you just call that name. That call won't come in your lane. Anybody know the name I'm talking about? That name ain't Ian. That name ain't IS. That name ain't Levy. And the name ain't Johnson. But the name is Jesus. Anybody know that name? I said, anybody know that name? I didn't really want to preach this hard on Father's Day. I wanted you to go have your dinner. But there's something about that name. There's something about that name. Can I hear that name? Can I hear you say Jesus? Can I hear you say Jesus? Can I hear you say Jesus? There's something special when you call that name. There's something that will happen when you call that name. There's a fire that will come in your body when you call that name. Can you do it one more time? Can you say Jesus? Say Jesus. Say Jesus. Jesus. Anybody know something happens? Anybody know something happens? Anybody ever seen something happen? Anybody heard something happen? When you call that name, any alright? Any alright? Any alright? Happy Father's Day. But the best name that you can ever have in your life is the name of Jesus. It's the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.